Let this abomination unto the Lord begin!
You're listening to Podcrapular Light.
Oh my God, I'm so excited, I wish I could wet my pants!
Podcrapular.
That comes with salad or soup.
Light.
I don't care how educational it is, let's do it!
Podcrapular Light.
Life is hilariously cruel.
Because Golf Widow and Andy had better things to do.
Get used to disappointment.
So you're stuck with Josh.
I happen to be a holding, stroking, loving machine. Also spank.
I've never really felt accepted at parties or nude beaches.
That young man fills me with some other emotions that are weird and deeply confusing me.
Podcrapular Light.
Listen, this is gonna be one hell of a bowel movement.
Hi there, it's Josh. Welcome to yet another Podcrapular Light. This one is going to be a little bit more of me reading some stuff that I've written. This is from a horror story that I wrote called The Very Next Day. It's exceedingly gruesome. It contains explicit sex. Nobody has really commented on it except for my friend who lives in England, and she said she enjoyed it, thought it was nice. I do appreciate that. I really do. I am just hoping that more people who I emailed it to will actually give me some feedback. I've also submitted this story to Weird Tales, but haven't heard back yet. I was kind of hoping to hear back in time to also submit it to this horror anthology that I have a link to, but in the end, I think I'm just going to have to write another story for that. I have a couple ideas in mind. One of them centered around weight loss and weight gain, but don't worry, it's not thinner. Anyway, here's a scene from The Very Next Day. The police had dropped him off at his house around midday. His in-laws, well, not anymore, he supposed, but they were his dead wife's parents, were in no condition to watch the baby, so he'd asked one of Megan's friends to keep an eye on her. Sickened with grief, tears pouring down her face, she'd agreed. His dead wife. How wonderful it felt to think that. The police officer who'd been driving him home had been, to his mind, unusually sympathetic. She'd offered to walk him in, but he declined. The back door was open, just as he'd left it last night. It was a nice neighborhood. No one would have come in and stolen anything. So why did he hear the television? There was a cutting board on the counter by the back door. He picked it up as soundlessly as he could and crept into the living room. Definitely the television. A soap opera was on, one of those stupid shows she kept using to waste space on his TiVo. And on the couch, his wife. Now he really did scream, dropping the heavy piece of lacquered wood. What the fuck? She couldn't quite turn her head, but she managed to flop it to the side so she could see him. He clapped his hand to his mouth, choking on vomit, but he couldn't look away. I'm not going to read any more of this in this podcast because it's pretty gruesome. Let me see. I'm going to go back up a little bit to an earlier section, which isn't quite as gnarly as that exceedingly gruesome description. Let's see. I'm going to skip over the sex. Okay, here we go. Despite the sex, fabulous as it was, his wife was a creature of habit, and he knew that as soon as he'd pulled out of her, she'd go to the bathroom to wash up. He pretended to be asleep, but only till the latch clicked shut and he heard her open the toilet. Quickly, carefully, eyes already adjusted to the dark, he moved her shoes into the path between the bathroom and the bed, to a place where he was certain she'd trip over them. The toilet flushed. He moved to the side of the dresser, one hand behind the television atop it, the other behind the dresser itself, tilting it ever so slightly forward, the better to make it fall. The sink ran. He made a mental note to dust the back of both items and wipe away his prints. Not that he thought the police would even consider him to be at fault. They'd find it to be a horrible accident, and no one would be the wiser. The only witness to their constant disagreements was his daughter, and she wasn't even one yet. She turned off the light before coming out of the bathroom, and he heard her careful steps as she shuffled across the carpet. Ow! Damn it! What the— In the light cast through the window from the street lamp, he saw her tow the shoe out of the way. It wasn't going to work. She wasn't going to trip on the shoe. Oh, well, he said. Sean, I thought you were asleep. She turned her head, and he knew she saw his empty side of the bed. Sean, where are you? No time to lose. Not now. He moved into what he guessed was her line of sight, picking up the television with a grunt. It was heavy. A nice 27-inch they'd just bought a month ago. Sean, what are you doing? He didn't answer. not with words. And if she screamed when he shoved the television down onto her face, he didn't hear it over the breaking glass, or the thump, like a felled log hitting the forest floor from when her body made contact with the carpet. He flipped on the closet light. She was twitching, reaching for the television, somehow still conscious. But when he pulled the dresser away from the wall and tipped it, the decorative carved wood top breaking her ribs, she stopped moving. He was free. He fell to his knees in a combination of exhaustion and relief, and then remembered he had to scream, just to make it seem like he'd been woken by the noise. I gotta tell you, this story, the very next day, is one of the most horrific things I've ever written. And I've written some pretty bad shit in my time. I don't know, I don't know what led me to write it, but, you know, I think it's a good story, and I hope that somebody deigns to publish it so that I can then give it to you. And believe me, as soon as it's published, I will give it to you to read. Okay, and now to round out the last few minutes of Podcrapular Light, I'm going to give you the very beginning of a short story that I sort of come back to every now and then called Giving Up. It's really kind of depressing, but I do hope you appreciate the writing itself. What are you doing here? You don't want to know. Libby moved out of the doorway. I stepped into her house and dropped my backpack on the linoleum and took the 3 paces into her living room. She closed the door behind me, and when she turned around, I was already leaning on the back of the sofa, my fingers so tight around the upholstery that my knuckles were white, the wood under the cloth creaking under my grip. I felt her come up behind me. She ran her hands over my shoulders, down my back, and then around my stomach, pulling herself against me in a hug, her cheek against my spine. "Your heart's pounding," she said quietly. "What happened?" I didn't know I was crying until I heard the tears make hollow splattering sounds, the sound of liquid hitting cloth as they dripped onto the back of the sofa cushions. "Eric, what is it?" I found my voice after a couple of tries. "I left." A deep, shuddering breath. "I left Michelle." "Oh, Eric." Her arms grew tighter. One of my hands covered her linked fingers, warm on her cool skin. "Why?" I turned around in her arms so I could put mine around her. I may have married Michelle, may have loved her dearly, but Libby and I had been friends for 11 years. There was a different kind of love I had for Libby, the kind that said I could do anything, say anything, and she would take my side and take me in. Never romantic, but still love. It felt good, holding Libby against me, my breath ruffling her short blonde hair. It felt more right than any of the last month with Michelle. Hell, any of the last 6 months. "Eric, what about Amy?" I choked down a sob, but the second one I couldn't stop. "Eric?" My voice was a breathy whisper. "I love her, Libby. I love Amy so, so much." She looked up at me. Her green hazel eyes were liquid and wide. One hand came up to cup my cheek, and I pressed against her palm and let out a long breath. "Tell me, Eric, please." I covered Libby's hand with mine. It always felt good to do that, always reminded me that no matter what happened between me and Michelle, Libby would comfort me without judgment, without question. My mouth was dry and I swallowed hard. "Amy?" She was crying so much. "And Michelle, she..." A wave of fresh tears must have scared Libby. I felt her pulse jump in her fingertips. "Eric," she said, very slow and very clear, "did Michelle do something to Amy?" "No," I said quickly. "God, no, no, she wouldn't." Libby gave a sigh of relief and rested her cheek on my chest. It was comforting to me that she was just standing there listening to my heart. My broken heart. My torn heart. My empty heart. "It's just too much, Libby," I finally managed to say. "It's too much for me to handle." "What, Amy?" I thought. "No, no, it's not Amy. I love Amy. God, every time she smiles, I melt." I stroked the softer hair above her neck and felt her shiver. It brought a small smile to my face, and her fingers flexed against my cheek. "It's Michelle. It's all Michelle. It's always been." There was a definite sadness in Libby's face when she looked up at me. "I know, Eric. I know." And that was when I broke down. Okay, I didn't intend for this Podcrapular Light to go that long, and I certainly didn't intend for something quite that heavy, but I kind of get going when I'm reading, and I know the story was sad and depressing, and believe me, it gets worse from there. There's only 2 more pages, but in my head I know how it's going to go, and it is not going to go well for Eric, at least not for quite a while. But I hope you enjoyed both of the stories, and I'll let you know if I ever sell them, so that you can buy them and support me. You can also buy Golf Widow's book. You can go to golfwidow.podomatic.com, and down on the right side under favorite links, you can find a link to Golf Widow's book, Golf Widow's blog, Andy Martello's booking site, Andy Martello's blog, Andy Martello's website, my book, which I strongly recommend you don't buy, and my blog. I'm not going to waste my time telling you all of that. Just go to golfwidow.podomatic.com and you'll find it. I spent way too much time reading that, and now I've got to go upstairs and make dinner. So I will leave you with our comment number, which is 206-333-1338. That's 206-333-1338. I'm Josh. I'm just about done, but I want to remind you to know yourself. Don't accept your dog's admiration as evidence that you're wonderful. See you next time.